to Friendverse, the podcast. This is Wandia.
And this is Chico.
So welcome to another episode.
Yes, as always.
And today it's Chico who's going to be sharing a little snippet of something she came across.
Well, I always try to be on topic, so you'll have to excuse me, good people. So yes. This is from the book So Sad Today by Melissa Broder. If you don't know her, she's the one who had the @SoSadToday Twitter handle that people followed. And then, so she wrote a book. And this was one of the things when I was reading the book that I wrote down. My fear among people is that I will be judged for revealing what is going on inside me. I fear others will discover that I am not only imperfect, I'm not even okay. But most people who meet me never know that I am struggling. Mm-hmm. On the outside, I am smiling. I am juggling all the balls of okayness, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, existential. But underneath, I am suffocating. So, yeah, I know, right? I know. And I feel like when I wrote it down, I was like, I understand what she's saying because I felt that.
Exactly.
You know?
You remember with the past episode when we were talking about social media and how it it just illustrates one aspect of our life.
Yes.
The good stuff.
Yes.
And I felt this a lot because I feel like on my IG stories, once in a while, I'll be like, this is not a definition of who I am. I might be dancing. I might be doing yoga. I might be posting a salad. But there's other things. There's other things going on, you know. And I really, and to be honest, it is a fear of being that idea that you have this single story, you know, that Wandia is just this happy person and nothing usually goes wrong and she just has everything popping. Because, you know, people now project stuff onto you.
They do project.
And then you're like, why would you do this? When did I give you the impression that this is what only what my life is about, And that's why sometimes I shock the people around me with heavy stuff so that they know, excuse me, there are many things about me. That
not every day know. Roses and
sunshine. Not every day, There's sometimes you know, you're going through serious issues. And I feel like, I like the idea of being comfortable with also revealing these aspects of yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go into depth, you know, explaining everything about it. But
just, it's fine if you want to also.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just be careful who you're sharing that with.
Amen.
Yeah. So
today we are talking. Sadness. Yes.
That's the topic.
Mean, if you hadn't caught on by now, we are talking about sadness.
The guys at the back bench.
Yes. Because I think it's something that we need to talk about because it's a thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like especially in Kenya, we have that what is considered toxic positivity. Mm-hmm. Where if someone tells you I'm down, they were like, oh, you know, you should be glad you have A, B, C, D. You know what
At
I mean?
At least you have this.
Yes. You know, there
you
are people
have a job.
Who,
there are people who don't.
Yes. There are people who went, but you're feeling this thing and you're not being able to feel it because there's all these other things put on top of it. Which is honestly, you should look up toxic positivity because Kenyans are adept at it, man. Yeah.
I mean, it's fair enough to say where there is unity, there's this thing for we are many of us who experience this, so that we should not find it unique that we are going through bad things.
Thank you.
Also, it should not be used to dim down the emotions that you're currently struggling with.
Feel your feelings is a big thing for me. And honestly, I know we just recently talked about friendship. And one of the things by which I judge, is that the right word? Whatever, I view my friends is what they tell me in moments when I'm not myself. You know, if I'm having a down moment and I'm like, I'm just not, you know, and then someone says, oh, you know, you should just pack up or whatever. Okay, no one's going to tell me pack up. But you know what I mean? Wow. Grow up.
You think you're the first one to have gone through this?
Yes. What is it that's making you sad? And you have food on the table, you know.
I like asking people, like, what exactly is making them sad? What do you feel you can do about it, you know? Mm. Like, what action steps are available to you to now work towards feeling a new emotion?
Yes.
It's important to feel that.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
and I agree. And I want to make it clear to whoever is listening, we are not talking about depression.
No.
We are not talking about any mental health issues. We are talking about not being happy, therefore being
and
sad.
And not being nonchalant or, you know, flat or just meh.
Being sad.
You feel down. You feel down.
Yes, that's what we are talking about. So I don't want for anyone to think that we are talking about any mental health issues.
Yes.
Making that very clear. Thank you.
Yes. So even before, I know we had started a bit how we work towards, you know, feeling other feelings. Or to jump out of the sadness, but I want to understand, what does sadness feel like to you? You can explain it to me with how your mental being feels, your physical being, your spiritual being, your emotional. Use all those to just explain, or you could use a phrase, a metaphor to explain how you feel when you're sad.
Well, I feel heavy.
Yeah.
And I don't mean weight-wise. I just feel like I'm carrying.
Because you're... Okay.
So we finish.
Because you're already heavy.
biggie, heavy. Whatever. That's not the point. So it's about this heaviness. You feel like you're carrying like a load.
Yes.
So my head, my body, everything. Like, it's like, I remember there was once I couldn't even lift my head from the bed.
Yeah.
Like, I stayed in bed the whole day.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just feeling so sad.
Yeah.
You know? And then I can't even hold conversations with people.
Yeah.
I can't answer my phone. Mm. Nothing. I just want to be in my
alone.
Bed. And then I don't feel like eating, which, you know, that is a big deal, man. Because food is bae, you know?
Do you know, Juicy? There's this person who started talking to me and it's not someone I wanted to talk to me, and I realized when I got home that day that I had only had I think a smoothie, like a small jar of a smoothie, and I was like, that's all I had the whole day.
Mm.
And right now as I sit, I'm not hungry.
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, this person is not good for me.
Mm.
I may have a lot of resistance in me, but this person makes me sad.
Mm.
And when I'm sad, I can't eat.
Mm.
So that's one thing that for me, even as someone who's very enthusiastic about food, once I know my appetite has been messed with, my emotional being is not safe.
Mm.
It's feeling a bit heavy, a bit, you know, hurt in that way.
Mm.
So yeah, for me, when I'm sad, I feel like, you know, that waru at the back of the potato at the back of your throat, your stomach also feels very jittery. So that, I guess that's why I cannot eat. And I relate also with that idea of my head feeling heavy, the blinds will be closed. Like, I won't even take care of myself.
Mm.
You know, even those ones for, I can't get out of the bed to shower, to brush my teeth. That's how I am when I'm sad. I just lose capability of my body moving.
Mm.
Movement becomes an afterthought.
Mm.
Something I'm like, do I have to?
Mm.
It's like I'm a rotisserie chicken going side by side by side.
They go round. They don't go side by side.
This one does. This one is a sad chicken. And I mean, I think it's this connection for my throat, my heart, you know, on the left. Yeah. I actually feel pain. Sometimes I feel like my heart is in pain and it's connected with my stomach. I just feel that heaviness and I'll most probably cry a lot.
Imagine I rarely cry when I'm sad.
Yeah.
But when nonsense things are happening in my life, when I shouldn't be crying is when I cry.
When I'm sad, when I feel that heaviness, I just, it piles up, and then at one point I'm like, my body cannot hold this any longer, and it will just have to be released, like, you know, a cloud releases rain. So that's how I feel like, enough is enough. I need to expel it and give room for other things.
Yeah.
So that's how I would explain sadness feels, especially in my physical body, you know? Yeah. What do you do when you're sad?
Nothing. I journal sometimes. Like, I'm trying to get, let me not lie, I used to try, but I wouldn't do it. But now, I feel like I'm getting into the space where journaling is becoming a thing. Yeah. So I journal, and then I'll probably watch anime, or I'll read a book. And then I'll look for the saddest book to read, and that's the book I'm going to read at that time.
And the music. Sad music.
I have a playlist called Sad Music. I never share my playlist with people because they say that I listen to boring music because I listen to 80s R&B. So
it's different if I ask you for it. You know, when I ask you for it, I'm the one who was.
But you don't have Deezer. You have you have Spotify. So
there should be like a convert thing. Jesus. Like what? Yeah, so me, I cry a lot. I'll just be in my room. I close myself off. My phone is definitely on do not disturb. Now,
it's off.
I put it off. It's just off. I don't want even to be on Instagram. I don't want to see anything. So it will just be maybe I have a book, I have some music, I have a series, something like that. And just give my time to myself with my feelings, just to dissolve in my tears and my feelings.
You honor your feelings.
Yeah, feel them
and you honor them. But and then now that's the thing: you honor them, and then you think about them, and then
question them.
Yes,
why in particular do you feel like this? Why did this thing make you sad?
Yes.
Is it because you expected this way, or it's because someone hurt you? Like, what exactly happened for you to have this reaction in your body, in your spirit, and everything? Like, get comfortable with questioning where this sadness comes from in a way to be able to equip yourself with the needed skills to deal with it if it ever happens again, right? So for me, I'll be like, okay, so this person made me sad, or this thing made me sad. Why did it, you know, make me sad? Is it because I expected it to go this other way, or it's just something that, you know, shook my system and made me feel unloved, unwanted? You know, question yourself so that you can create the path to outside the black hole.
Yeah.
And once you establish, it is why you felt like this. What was the cause of that feeling making you sad, or that situation making you sad? Now you know. It's either you can do something about it. What can you do about it? Can you do anything about it? Or is it something that was an external factor? It was someone else's actions and you have no control over it? Or it's actually something that you did that maybe if you approach it in a different way, you would not have been faced with these consequences. So I like to write that list, the things I can do about it, and if I can not do anything about it. So if there's something I can do about it, the next day, well, after I have stayed in bed and felt my feelings, I've cried, is when I start tackling, these are the things that you can do about it, you know? Maybe if it's a job that I wanted and now I've been rejected, okay, it means that maybe I should apply for these other things. Or maybe I've been applying for so long and I'm just not getting it. Maybe I need to beef up my credentials, take a course, or, you know, talk to specific networks. You know, do something about it after you felt that I've been in these emotions, it's time to move on.
I feel like what it's not, because, you know, there can be the tendency to move on and you have not analyzed that thing. So I feel like it is important to honor the feelings.
Yes.
And everything you have said, I agree with. And then you have to create that space for the negativity to flow out, the sadness, the sadness to flow out. And then not hold yourself to a time. I'm not saying you stew in it or whatever, because stewing 100%. Also doesn't help. Exactly. But I feel like most of it is being in that space where you know yourself. Because when you know yourself, you're able to deal with these things in a more effective, in a better way, for lack of a better word. Because there is a tendency to stew in this thing and it becomes a personality trait,
yes.
which it really isn't and shouldn't be, you know. So yes, you, and then you make action points on, not, God, I sound like I'm giving a talk on like some business course. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying.
It be like that sometimes.
Yeah, it be like that. Anyway, so I feel like you know yourself enough to be like, okay, I was sad. Why was I sad? This is why I was sad. This is what I need to do. Or this, maybe I listen to, you know, I need to listen to something else. Maybe I need to make myself go and take a shower. Or maybe I need to, you know, jump some rope or something, get those endorphins working or whatever, you know, or do some yoga or meditate or whatever it is to get yourself in a space of peace. Because it's not even about being positive as much as it is about being
dealing with those
emotions. Dealing with the things and finding peace.
Yeah.
Finding peace and finding some semblance of balance or something.
And I feel like you can even do these things concurrently, because sometimes, what if you need a year? It's not like you will stay a year in your bed. It's that sometimes, even as you're working on these action steps to get you out of the funk, it will hit you out of nowhere, this wave of sadness, and it reminds you that this is what happened to you maybe a month ago or yesterday or a week ago. And what you need to do in that moment is also be kind to yourself. Remind yourself that, you know what, I'm working towards, you know, improving my situation or feeling better about that situation. Because sometimes even 5 months, 3 months, whatever duration of time is not enough. Because, you know, you won't even be able to know from the get-go how long you'll need to get over something.
Yes.
It will just be, one day you'll stop thinking about it. One day you'll stop being triggered when you see a similar situation. One day when you see the whole cause of whatever was making you sad, you will feel nothing. And you'll know that day for sure that, well, you moved on from that feeling, that emotion. Thing, man. Yeah. And it's a good feeling. So be patient with yourself also dealing with it.
Yeah. And I like what you said about being kind to yourself, because one of the things that I had to work on is how I talk to myself when I'm in this space. Because you can, especially if you've grown up where, you know, this thing of sitting in sadness is not something you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, you know, be on the move and, you know, don't let things hold you down and always, oh, blah, 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 blah. But sitting with this thing has made me realize that I need to stop being very critical of myself. At the same time, I need to be mindful about how I talk to myself. And on top of that, I need to always be grateful about what I have, but not in the way that we've been taught to do it. You know, it's not about, yes, I'm sad because this happened, but this guy slept without food. That is not gratitude.
Firstly,
that is like not even, gratitude, because that is gratitude at the expense of someone else's misfortune. Exactly. That is not gratitude.
It seems like even some type of porn of, like, misusing someone's situation to make yourself feel like, that is awful.
That is not, and that is what I feel like people make gratitude to be like, I have this thing and this person doesn't have. That is not gratitude.
Not at all.
Gratitude is being grateful for what you have. Yes. End of story.
End of story. Regardless of whether someone has, has not,
had,
whichever.
Mm-hmm.
It's about you.
Mm.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, I also have that tendency of beating myself up. That, you know, you maybe tell you're happy and you're maybe out with friends, and then suddenly you have a wave of sadness that now you're thinking about something that happened to you, and you're like, God damn it. Like, I thought I dealt with this. Like, now you start beating yourself up for bringing this up, especially maybe when you're having fun or when you're, you know, busy doing something else, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. And you're just like, at that moment, I'm usually like, it's okay. Take your time. Clearly, you haven't worked it all off. No. And it just shows you that maybe you need to do a bit more. You know, do a bit more to deal with that specific situation. And something that always carries me is knowing that both the good things and the bad things will not last forever. Mm. You will not be happy forever. You will not be sad forever. Things change. I mean, this world is super dynamic. So even with your sadness, there's definitely going to be a better day. Mm. And I love it so much because I remind myself consistently. Maybe when I'm having a good time, I'm like, I don't want to remember that. But then it helps me appreciate that moment even more.
Yeah.
But now for the sadness, it just reminds me there is going to be like a way through it.
Yeah.
How can we protect ourselves when we're dealing with sadness?
What do you mean, protect ourselves?
Sometimes we employ strategies or initiatives that make us distracted from the sadness.
Yes.
So tell me something about that. Like, there are some things, maybe I like gin and tonic, which I actually do.
Yeah.
So that's how to bribe me. But anyway, like maybe
I'm using alcohol
or these things. I mean, it's not a bad thing to have a drink, and it just depends how you're doing it, you know? Some things become a distraction. So how can we be cognizant that something is a distraction, that we need to, you know, tread carefully when we are dealing with sadness so that we don't do things like, well, so that I stop thinking about this, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know.
But you already know that you're sabotaging yourself. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like it's not something that we are doing without knowing. We are aware that we are doing this thing purposely. So the question is, why are you trying to not sit with your sadness? Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing. As in, look for the why. Why are you not comfortable with it? Is it because this thing that is making you sad is something that you're not ready to deal with yet, or whatever the reason could be? But yes, we do, especially now when there are many things that we can distract ourselves with. Honestly, you can sit down and watch a Netflix series like 12 episodes of BoJack Horseman and you will distract yourself. Although BoJack might make you sadder, but
There's many things,
you know, that you can do to distract yourself. But at the end of the day, I feel like you will still go back to that space where you have to sit with this sadness and deal with it.
Yeah.
It will take time, but why are you doing it? Why are you like, basically you're delaying?
Yeah.
You know,
and I feel like later on it will have compounded.
I was about to say that as well. Yeah.
And it will be much harder to deal with because now maybe you could pick up a substance abuse problem.
Yes.
Or maybe you decide that you're going to fill it with other drugs or with sex or with the wrong people in your life. And later on, you'll be like, now I have two problems.
And then, you know,
one.
Yeah. And you know, it could morph now into a personality trait where you become an avoidant person. Mm. So basically you avoid your feelings, you start avoiding other people's feelings, and then it becomes this thing that defines who you are.
And even people don't want to be around you because you're maybe some type of a loose cannon.
Yes.
These people who become super hyper because they're trying to, you know, distract themselves from other things.
Yeah. Maybe from themselves.
So you even notice sometimes your friends get hyper and you're like, oh, why are you acting out? Like, what is actually going on?
In your life.
Yeah.
Are you all right? Is your shiny suit all right?
Well, that's what, like, I don't know which friends you're asking, is your shiny suit all right?
No, I can't ask, are you all right, without saying the shiny suit part. I cannot.
Yeah, I mean, it's now the rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself time to deal with those emotions so that you can make space to feel other things, these other happy moments or other sad moments.
I mean, do you know how many emotions exist? There are so many emotions. It's not happiness and sadness only. There is ambivalence. There is nervousness. There are so many emotions you can feel, and you shouldn't limit yourself to...
Don't let one compound all your feelings into this one thing.
Yes.
So that you get a job promotion, you're still sad about it. You get fired, you're still sad about this other thing. Then you're like, okay, I don't even have time to be sad about this.
But I feel like part of that is like, it's like people are afraid of being with themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, this is me, and I'm scared to find out why I'm feeling this way.
Yeah.
So I avoid it. And that's very telling in a way that I'm like, are you not comfortable with yourself? Mm. Because if someone is not comfortable with themselves, it says so much more about them as a person. And honestly, that's not even someone I would associate with, because why?
Yeah.
Why?
Exactly. On this issue of journaling, because I also realize whenever I look at my phone and see which days I open day one, it's mostly when I'm sad or when I'm very thoughtful. So maybe I'm not at happy or sad or anything. It's just those days I'm feeling very pensive and I feel like I really want to type something out. And then I remember this one time you're like, you're trying to build a habit, and maybe you'll be like, your gratitude challenge is, you'll do it for 2 days and maybe you forget about it or something. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you need it for that situation.
For that moment, yeah.
And I feel like with sadness, it's really good to put things on paper so that you kind of also offload that burden. Mm. You try to work it out on the page, on writing. I'm not 100% a fan of now offloading it on a friend or something before you deal with it yourself. You even understand it. Exactly. Mm. Try to figure out how you even feel about it. Mm. Because then, what are you even communicating to someone else?
It's like you want someone else to explain yourself to you.
Yeah. And they might end up giving you a conclusion that is...
Not the right thing.
It's not the right thing. And then it will lead you astray. And then later on, 2 months later, you'll be like, why am I still dealing with this thing?
And that wasn't it at all.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So I have a mood tracker on my phone.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you can choose the number of moods.
Mm.
So it's like, I'm happy, I'm good, I'm meh, and I'm
raging.
Sad. Yeah. So it has like moods and whatever. So every day it has a reminder. So every day at 8, it asks you, how was, like, you can do whenever you want, like if your feelings are type of way, but so it reminds you, I'm feeling rad, good, meh, bad, awful. So, and then at the end of the week, it gives you like a graph of your moods. So if you feel
that's
cool.
Yeah. What's the name of the app?
It's called Dailyo.
Like, Dailyo.
Yeah, Dailyo, Daylio. So it's like 99 cents or something.
Oh,
so
cool.
I bought it just because.
I mean, investing in your...
I did it in 2018 because I was, every day I would wake up and I'm like, I don't want to be here.
Mm.
You know, so I was like, I remember I had a conversation and it was about sadness and whatever. And I researched and I did all these things. And one of the things was like, you need to be able to track your mood. And it was those things of when you wake up and you feel that way, why are you feeling that way? And, you know, so it was after a month of like struggling.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like it helps because I, up until today, we are talking about months later, I still do it. Like, it's become part of me now where I'll be like, it gives you a space to write the activities that you did that day so that you can track what activities make you feel rad, what activities makes you feel meh. You know, so I think
it's
helping.
It's good that it's helping because these are the small things that we do to be mindful of our current situation or emotions that then you're like, you're able to take more stock and be like, okay, I had more negative emotions about this day. Why? Now it pushes you to work on these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about being very aware in our current emotions, in our current situation, in that particular moment, how are you feeling? And I feel like these questions are things that you need to ask yourself consistently. And as we are talking about these initiatives that we do, I mean, this, what are they called? Cool things that help us, you know, deal with sadness, like journaling or like your mood tracker. And I think the objective is that it will help you in this moment, definitely dealing with the sadness, but also for the next time, so that you're better equipped to deal with sadness, so that you don't have to crash and go to zero, so that you can deal with these emotions that are going to be there consistently, right? So set up notifications, set up reminders to check in with yourself. Mm-hmm. So now, like me, I've been very laissez-faire about the day one journaling, because maybe I will be maybe very interested in going to type once in a while. But now I'm like, maybe I should put a reminder at like 8 p.m. when I'm in bed, so that I can type something down.
Rather Even than if it's one waiting, sentence.
Exactly. Rather than waiting for when I'm having a low moment or when I'm feeling pensive to actually type. Because I really like that idea of it will prompt me at like the sleepy... Dailyo will prompt you at different moments of the day to be like, okay, how are you feeling? Quickly check in. And I think that's important. Reminding ourselves to be present in that specific moment.
And I feel like all these things are here to help us. And people will be like, oh, you know, it's so much. I'm like journaling for me, for the longest time I used to feel it used to be this thing where I need to sit down for like 15 minutes and just write my thoughts and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm putting this pressure on myself for no reason. Even if I write, today was a good day.
Yeah.
I feel like I have done what I've needed to do for today. Yep. You know, if there's a day I'll write pages and pages, all well and good. But I'm not putting that pressure on myself to be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it's finding all these things that work best for you, because honestly, one of the things is you will go online and get all this information and it will be a saturation of information and then you'll do nothing.
Yeah.
So just bits and pieces and trying and failing and finding the rhythm that works for you, because I can't sit here and say that I found the things that, you know, when I'm sitting with my sadness, I know to do blah, blah, blah. Yes. No. I'm still finding my way.
Yeah.
I'm still finding things. Mm-hmm. I mean, music remains, the book remains, but there are other things I'm still finding that, oh, maybe if I bake. I remember there was a time when I was stressed. I just used to bake and bake. And then I was like, oh my God, baking is expensive. Then that became a stress.
Yeah.
So now I had to stop baking, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was just, I had to find other things, you know.
Yeah. I feel like in different seasons of your life, your sadness will play out in this way. You'll deal with it in this way. And it keeps on changing.
Yeah.
So are we going to have like maybe our last impressions of how to deal with sadness before we end the episode? This section,
I don't know. I think I've said everything I need to say about sadness, but I'm just going to be like, honor your feelings. I know people are always like, you know, life still continues and blah blah blah, but what happens with emotions and feelings that you do not deal with is that they just pile up and you end up having this, I don't know, explosion of some sort, implosion even, where you don't like yourself and you don't, you know, you feel like you're not moving on and you're just not happy. And so as they happen, as these emotions happen, honor them and feel them and sit with them and, you know, continue to know yourself.
This is true.
It's a continual process. And you, Wandia, I don't know, do you have some last words for the peeps?
It won't last forever.
Amen.
Amen. That's it.
Amen. And so now, Wandia, also, what are you listening to? Oh, actually, let's do a song that when you're feeling sad, you listen to. Or a song when you want to feel like a song that makes you feel in the groove.
In the groove.
You know what I'm saying? Like a song that you can't help but smile when you're listening to it. One of those. So since mine is already in my head, I'm going to say it.
Okay.
So one of the songs I listen to when I'm feeling down and in the dumps is an old Tamar Braxton song that's called If You Don't Want to Love Me. It's like before this evolution of Tamar. It's like a very old song. You see, again, R&B. So yeah, I like that song when I'm feeling down. It just keeps me also down. Like it makes you sit with my sadness.
You're in touch with your emotions.
Yes. So it's kind of like it makes me sit with. But now when I'm feeling like when I want to get in the groove and when a song I listen to and I can't help but smile is Zonke's SOS, release me. And I don't even care if I've mentioned this in a previous podcast episode or whatever. But that song makes me smile so hard. Honestly. SOS, release me by Zonke. Listen to it.
Yeah. I'm going to share maybe. For me, I will play a one song the whole day. It's me. It's not even about the lyrics. Sometimes it's not even about the lyrics.
It's not. The sound. Even me. It's just the way it's going.
Yeah. It sounds. It's just. Maybe it's even the lyrics are just trash and whatever. But yeah, maybe one song that usually falls into that. I don't know if you know Noah Slay.
No, I don't.
Not so sure. He has this song called Reality, and it's with Jordan Rake. It's also such a... It's like, I can play that song the whole day. Mm. You know, such a song. Even like that mashup, Chopped and Screwed song for Brandy, the one I was talking about in a previous episode. That was also like another song I could play the whole day. Mm. So I feel like it may not even be a sad song. Mm. It could even be a funky song, and I just feel like it's carrying me through.
No, I know what you're saying. I remember there was a time when I was working, when I was employed, and my boss really got on my last nerve, and the whole day I listened to Collie Bird's Blind to You Haters. Even my colleagues were coming, they were like, Shiko, are you okay? Are you okay?
Because
I was listening to it so loudly, and then I'm like, I'm so angry, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel you.
Yeah. Yeah, I also like Chronic's Eternal Fire. It's just so...
Oh my God, you play that song all the time.
I do.
Yes. Oh, every God. Time they're like, oh, what song do you want to add to the playlist?
I like that song a lot.
You always add that song.
Because I remember during his concert, when his band started playing those initial strings for that song, I was just like, oh my God. I felt like goosebumps. I just felt like my body was being lifted. Oh, and you know that song is very distinct by those first, you know, those first strings.
Mm.
It's just like, I know that song. That's a song. That's Eternal Fire. It sounds so good. Oh my God. I hope he comes back this year, because Nico Apo, I'm there.
My conscience is coming.
Are we going?
I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, God, that's code word for...
By yourself.
In other words, a.k.a.
Anyway, thanks, guys, and we shall see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye. This podcast episode is recorded with the assistance of Courier. You can listen to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.